Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, Kwam, Yasha Allah, brothers and sisters, you are listening to Blueprint for Life here on Blog Talk Radio. It is the Shabbat, rise and shine, let's do battle with the Torah. But this is the day that the Most High has made, and all praises go to Him. We worship Him and we love Him in spirit and truth for all that He is to us. Hear, O Israel. Lord our God, one power. That is our credo. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. It is the Shema in Hebrew, our original tongue, before we were brought into this final captivity and our language was changed. It's Shema Yasha Ahaya Alahaya Nawa Ahaya Akkad. We give all praises to the Most High. Truly. What He is and who He is. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, and may Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory. Truly, Father, today we reflect on another week gone by. Some aren't even here with us. Some are sick, some are struggling, and this world is getting sicker and sicker. But we reflect on how you are our constant source. So I'm praying for all the brothers and sisters scattered throughout the four corners of the earth in this captivity that want to throw in the towel, that want to give up, can't find a job, nowhere to stay, but don't realize how good they have it when they keep these laws. We come against every foul spirit of oppression and depression on this broadcast, on this show, on this day, because I know my brothers and sisters are struggling with a lot of pet sins. Not only pet sins, those sins have allowed demons to set up shop and camp in their houses and in their lives and in their bodies and their souls. We pray for deliverance, which is still a key component to victorious living and seeing you. So may your spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, Wawarwak, be present. Come forth and do that that it's supposed to do. You watch over your word to perform it. May it accomplish what it's supposed to do. And we'll be careful to give your name all the worship, praise, and glory. We pray in the name of your son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So be it. I am Brother Elder V. As I said, you are listening to Blueprint for Life, understanding that the blueprint has been laid out for how you should conduct your life, which is why I don't let nobody tell you that these laws and commandments have been done away with. They were never done away with. Never done away with. The interesting thing about it is that when they taught us we were the Gentiles, they were teaching us Romans 2 and 14. Because Romans 2 and 14 said that the Gentiles are a law unto themselves. Because the law was given only to Israel, Yasha'Allah, for us to handle this word and preach it to the Gentiles when they come in. This word wasn't given for everybody to be preaching and teaching. Too many people have mishandled the laws and statutes and commandments, which is why the real Gentiles, the other nations, teach you that you don't have to keep it no more. They teach you grace and just totally exclude 1 John 2 and 3. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, for if we say we love him and keep not his commandments, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Commandments were never done away with. Look at scriptures like Psalms 78 and 5 and Amos 3 and 7 that lets you know that this word was given to us to teach and preach. And misconstrued, misled today. By the Gentiles. So today, I'm not going to be before you long. I know you got a lot of resting to do because you've probably been going through it. So what we are going to do is we've been studying the laws, a brief look, 613 and the 10 laws. And then we're going to continue our study of Psalms 119, which is the Hebrew alphabet. And then we're going to get into an exhortation that I like to do. But this time I think it's going to be very important. This particular exhortation coming out of James, the first chapter, the 19th verse through the 27th verse. And I'm pretty much going to let the word speak for itself. But if you read in the headings or in the information, you'll see that a lot of people are hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Pretty much. Some of you are even learning it and knowing it, but you're not applying it. Memorizing is not application. So, moving forward. So today, the brief look at the laws 613 and the 10, I wanted to talk about the 613 were condensed down to 10. And today, because it ties into the exhortation lesson, I wanted to talk about the ninth commandment, because I think it's so important. The ninth commandment, if you know it, do you know it? You should know it off the top of your brain. You should know it. If you don't, let me go ahead and say it for you. Indicative of our times, because our whole world is consumed with gossip television shows, celebrity scandals, who's doing who got fired, what happened, and we don't even have enough sense to know that it's existing in the house of Israel. It's existing within the church structure. It's existing within our lives, and a lot of you feel meaningless if you don't have something to talk about or somebody to talk about. It has become so ingrained into our everyday activity and our everyday vernacular and conversation that we've been deceived. And we're going to find out today the danger it is to your soul. So that's why I didn't want to go into the 613. Let me come back to the 10. Let me focus on this one, the ninth one, which is so important. Like I said, it's so pervasive and prevalent and harmful. Exodus 20 and 16, thou shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shall not talk about something you don't know about. Let's run through a few scriptures that kind of emphasize this a little bit better. Because this is, like I said, this is active on social media. And the number one social media site in all the world, they said yesterday, 80% of people using all the world is Facebook, which has become extremely ungodly. But what can you say? It's owned by the government. And what I want to say is Proverbs 16 and 28 says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. It's always bad news when someone tells you some people said, wrote such and such, and the immediate sinking feeling that occurs is very unpleasant because you know in that instant you have been wronged for absolutely nothing. It is a feeling of being the victim of injustice. No one likes it. It doesn't take much to do needless harm with careless and suggestive questions. That's what you don't catch. Even the suggestive questions, what we also got to look out for, brothers and sisters, throughout the week is people trying to lure you into a conversation with suggestive questions. It's some pretty good psychology. Some of y'all got psychology, don't even know you have it. You're using it just because you're messy and you got a spirit on you. Did you hear about, they tell you, so what do you think about, well, what would you do? I was wondering, very subtle, what we need to know is that the tactics of Satan are very subtle. That's why when we get into the lesson, we're going to be talking about Satan, because we talk about all these people that know the word, but Satan knew the word back and forth. Demon-possessed people knew the word back and forth. They studied the laws and commandments. They knew it and would twist it. So we're going to get into that in a minute. Subtlety can destroy you because the little foxes destroy the vine. So most of the times you don't see when Satan creeps in unaware. Bible tells us that many men of old have crept in unawares. Why? We are blind. We don't even see the subtlety of people coming in to cause destruction to your home, your family, your camp. It is so suggestive, prevalent and suggestive through media, social media, TV, radio. A suggestion comes into your mind as a grain or a seed, and then it blossoms and it grows. How come you don't do this for me or buy me something? Because you saw something on TV that told you to equate this with that. So if you're not getting this, you're not getting that. Or he doesn't or she doesn't because she's not doing this or that. It's so suggestive. Most of you can't handle the subtlety, suggestive power that Satan uses on a daily basis in his kingdom called the world. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down having great wrath. And the whole world has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. These are scriptures I'm quoting to you right now to confirm what I'm saying. You are living in an ungodly world made to look like Disneyland to keep you satisfied and sleep. Go over there and play until you're destroyed. So we're in a battle. That's why on the seventh day we come out the battle, we read, we pray, we rest. We don't use our own words. We don't get into these arguments and fights. And we don't talk about, well, we don't gossip. And it's the subtleties. And I'll just say it, most of you women don't even need to be calling each other because y'all can't help but get into something about somebody. It just happens. It's like the nature of the conversation. I just thought about when my wife asked me if I called a brother. I'm like, no, we don't call each other every day. What? Ain't that much to talk about. Talk about the scriptures and hang up. Because in the last days, Father said that we need to be calling each other to sing songs and hymns and encourage each other and exhort each other. And a lot of y'all don't do it because you feel kind of crazy just doing it. There's a few of you that do it, but there's not many of you that go around looking for somebody to encourage and exhort. Why are we so caught up into this satanic premise of gossip and talebearing and wanting to know about somebody's destruction? That's these curses, Israel. Some of you pray for the destruction of your brother. Some of y'all don't want to see your brother and sister prosper. That's why I think the ninth commandment is enough today. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. So, that's us. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Ephraim, Manasseh. You know the rest of them. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. For I am the Most High, thy power. These are commandments and laws telling you don't go throughout the community of friends and people talking about people. It is amazing how much we sin every day. And when I say sin, I'm not talking about smoking and drinking. For all the over-religious Christians out there just coming to the truth, sin is transgression of the law, as talked about in 1 John 3:4. So when you're breaking this law, you're sinning. I'll go as far as to say you probably need to repent if you're partaking into, did you hear what happened with this brother on TV, this celebrity, especially if he's Israel? Did you see what happened? Yeah, that's what they get. Well, that's what happens. I'm trying to talk to you to come to a point where you begin to come out of her, my people, and separate yourself, because these things that they distract us with aren't the most important things in life. This world and Satan knows better than you that his time is short and that Yeshua is on his way back. They know. See, you don't even know right now that bombs are being dropped in Syria. 350,000 troops have stormed over there, that they're preparing for a third world war. And the Bible tells us in the book of Amos that there will be an Armageddon, and he's going to draw everybody into one region, and then he's going to deal with those countries all at one time, because Psalms 83 said that they are all confederate against us. None of them like us. None of them like Israel, but we're scattered in all their lands. And through his divine wisdom, he's going to let them fight each other. And they'll destroy each other. And then Christ will come and destroy all of them. I believe it's 1 Chronicles 20:22-23, where before the children of Israel would go into battle, they would send out Judah and they would begin to worship and praise. And through the worship and praise, Mount Seir and Taman and some of the other nations and countries, they begin to destroy each other because they got confused in the midst of their praise. So he's going to cause these nations and armies in that region to turn on each other. You don't even know why justices are being murdered and killed. You don't even know the government policies that are being set up right now because you are too busy watching TMZ, your reality show, and talking about what's happening with so-and-so on the phone, while Bible prophecy is being fulfilled rapidly. We don't even have to wait anymore. Every day, something new out of this Bible is happening overseas. And just because you don't see it on TV, well, there's a thing known as block out the media. We don't want this publicized in the USA. We don't want them knowing the bloodshed, the slaughter, the innocent people that we're dropping bombs on, the democracy that we're pushing. We have no idea, because you're too busy. Let me bring it back home. Did you hear about so-and-so? What's going on with you? What do you think about this? The ninth commandment is so serious, and we break it so much. Within the ten, we break the ten commandments. Now, I talk about the 613 so you can see how relevant they are today and how you can apply it today. Because, yeah, you want to get to a place where you can get some garments with a border of blue. Yeah, you want to get to a place where you can wear tassels, but because of this captivity, you can't wear that to work. You can't do it all the time. So let's be real about it. But when you can, in homage to Ahiah, the Most High, we do it. We get nice garments because we know we're going to do it on Passover when we come together with each other. And in the Passover, the heathens aren't allowed in our sanctuary, in our gathering. They're not even supposed to come. This is for us, and we're supposed to be doing the thing. Understanding the relevancy of the 613, but learning how not to even break the 10. I'll give you some more. Proverbs 26, 20 and 22. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Woo, Selah. If we didn't have gossipers and talebearers and people doing the subtlety stuff, there would be no strife. And how much strife do we see in Israel right now? All on YouTube, everybody talking about the same subject, going off on he married this one and his wife and what they preaching, what they teaching. Should we flee? Should we go here? Who's right? Who's wrong? Strife. And if the gossip, it just turns into a gossip fest about who preached what they said. And that's why we're going to get into being a hearer and doer. This is ridiculous in the house of Israel. So where there is no talebearer, the strife will come to a stop. That's even in your home. If you got strife in your home because somebody's going outside the house talking to other people about what's going on in your house, and guess what? Those people gossiping about what's going on in your house. And it's attracting negativity and spirits to come within your life. Nobody got that much love for you running telling somebody all your business. Scripture says in Proverbs, a fool tells all. Let me finish Proverbs 26 and 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Some of these men, I'll admit, we angry because we don't want to grow up. When I was a child, spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And they not ready to put away childish things or control their mouth, their anger and tempers as well. We all ready to pop off. You're going to pop off, pop off. That's how we talk. I was amazed when President Obama said it too. All y'all want to pop off. You know, that's big in our community. Everybody want to pop off. We worship our tongue so much, saying, I tell you off. Let me tell you. Wait till I see her. What? So a contentious man can kindle strife. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You hurt people talking about people. Even when you think they're not there and they didn't hear the phone conversation, chances are they're going to find out about it. What's done in the dark comes to the light. I've lived long enough to know that's true, where I could just sit back and wait for it. Wait for it. I can wait for it. Whatever's done in the dark is going to come to the light. You're hurting people with your tongue. We've already done plenty of lessons on the tongue. But today we're talking about this gossip, and I got to shake you by speaking to you like this because the world has programmed your mind to give and receive gossip. With these shows like that, Wendy Williams and TMZ, and it's all about, did you hear what's going on? Every one of those shows. So you've been so conditioned and subconsciously, I'm calling just a couple, there's thousands of them on every day. You turn on TV and there's probably 250 of them on right now, talking about every age group and every nation and race and every song, every music. Everybody got something to say. Anybody want to be heard? And Facebook It's ridiculous. I got another one for you. Jeremiah 9:4. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. I just got through saying it. I'm getting ahead of myself. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Did Jeremiah the prophet say that? Did he really just say that? It ought to make you paranoid. Everybody want to think paranoid is a negative word. They got you. That's social conditioning. Paranoid has been used to shut people up, keep you from doing the right thing. Guess what? There's a healthy paranoia. Like, nah, I got my eye on you. I'm not fooling with you. This is Jeremiah's telling you now. For every brother will utterly supplant. The time will come. This is why he teaches. Let me help you out. This is why he teaches patience and forgiveness and love within the brotherhood of Israel. Because it's going to happen. And together we can overcome. What it should teach you in the interim is to choose your words and your conversation wisely. You don't need to give them tools. And at the same time, you don't need to be a garbage can for somebody else's trash coming out their mouth. I tell you, I speak today with passion because we don't see the subtlety that Satan uses to get us to break the ninth commandment every day, every hour. And it's wearing your soul and spirit down. That's why by Friday, ooh, I can't wait for the Shabbat. Yeah, for you to shut your mouth. Let's see if I got one more for you. Maybe in the New Testament, John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. I'm getting ahead of myself again. That's what I was saying. That's the patience. That's where the love comes in. Romans 1:28-32. And even as they did not like to retain Ahia in their knowledge, Ahia gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I'm going to come back to that later because that is going into being a hearer, not a doer. They did not like to retain Ahia in their knowledge. Oh, boy, that's so deep. The reason I say that is because that scripture is telling you that people have knowledge. That's why I'm going to talk about all these people that's preaching, teaching, and these elders in all these camps. They got knowledge, but they're not doers in applying it because they're not keeping a higher. And the Most High has given some of these people over to a reprobate mind. You're not retaining what I'm telling you about the ninth commandment. Some of y'all are going to get on the phone anyway. Like, who did he think he is? It's not me speaking. This is the word. And I believe in deliverance. And the only way you're going to get delivered is by going into surgery. And when you go into surgery, you're going to get cut. Then you're going to have to heal. If somebody giving you all these words of kindness, they don't love you and they're not giving you the unadulterated truth. This word is a double-edged sword, piercing asunder the joint from the marrow. It's not going to feel good as you're being sculpted. But take it like a woman, take it like a man. And grow up in grace. I'm going to get more into this Romans 1:28 because I don't think people realize it's the seriousness. It's just, man, I went on Pal Talk last night. I went on somebody. Everybody's preaching, teaching, prophesying. And the thing about it, they run with the wave. Everybody be on the same subject fighting each other. It's called distracted preaching and teaching. So all you're doing is setting people up for gossip and distracting the masses from really getting the word of the commandments and preparing themselves for the return of Yeshua. It's ridiculous. People defending themselves in their camps. Let me stay on track. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Ahia that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If this isn't our society today to a T, then I don't know what is. The problem here is we, as Israel, should not be exhibiting any of these qualities within ourselves. None of them. So this is a serious call for you to take care of how you act in public. A lot of y'all at work start gossiping at work, talking. And did you hear? You're supposed to be watching how you act around these Gentiles. One woman was going around work with hot red hair, talking about I'm a prophet, preaching, and I'm having a Bible study and gossiping, talking about everybody is creating strife within the workplace. And we just read that being a talebearer and gossiping creates strife. And I think a lot of you already know that you've been having a lot of strife. Say loud on that. Let's take a brief break. I'll be right back. Blueprint for life. We are together in the spirit. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I pray that you're keeping it kodesh, set apart. Make it different from every other day. Make it different. As we just talked about, one way we're going to make a difference is not talking about nobody today and don't want to hear nothing about it. Let's practice it today and put it in our lives on a daily basis. All right, we're going to continue study we've been doing. Psalms 119. I don't consider myself to be a Hebrew scholar. I try to study something if I'm sitting on here and talk about it. But Psalms 119, with its 76, I believe it was 176. I've talked about it. Give me 1 second. I want to kill this track. I'm still playing. Okay. There we go. So in Psalms 119, we've been going through the letters of the alphabet. I believe we went through 7 thus far. I was joined by, in the beginning, by Brother Ray, who's helping me out with these things. And it's the longest chapter in our Hebrew history book. And I find it very interesting because it has a lot of emphasis and focus on the commandments, statutes, and the laws. The Hebrew alphabet has a total of 22 letters. And we're moving into the 8th, which symbolizes grace. And I've always heard that 8 is new beginnings. But 8th, you'll see it's kind of pronounced with H-E-T-H, but it's C-H-E-T-H. I'm not here to do an English lesson, a Hebrew lesson, and combine it, but I'm here to talk about the importance of the verses within what it means. It was also considered to be like an enclosure to many. If you could see the pictograph form, you'd be amazed. It looks like a railroad track. If you saw the book type form, it would kind of look like the letter N. And the gematria, as I said, is 8. One of the things that I want to bring out about the word is that it also represented life, light, and some considered it to be a doorway. So that doorway, number eight, is very representative of grace. Eight souls saved during the great flood of Noah. The covenant of circumcision on the eighth day, just to give you a few things. Reaffirmed, Most High reaffirmed his covenant to Abraham eight times. David was the eighth son of Jesse. Sukkot is an eight-day festival. There's just so many things. So it has some interesting significance. And I'm just trying to give you a platform, just the foundation of that letter before we go into it. So let's go into it at Psalms 119 and verse 57. We can begin to read from there. I'm going to ask Sister Tama, and she'll read these verses for me, starting at verse 57.
Psalms 119, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word.
Hence the mercy and the graciousness of Heth, the eighth letter. Go ahead.
I thought on my words and turned my feet unto thy testimony.
He said, hold on, wait. He said, I thought on my what?
Words.
My ways.
Ways, sorry.
I thought on my ways. Because I wanted to put the importance on that because he said, I reflected on some of the things that I've done. And he didn't like what he had saw and said, look, I'm turning my feet unto thy testimonies. Statutes and laws are within the testimonies. Go ahead.
I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments.
Quickly. And he didn't put any delay in saying, let me keep these laws. Keeping, like we're talking about the ninth, like, let me get on it right away to decree some things. That's grace and mercy. Go ahead.
The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law.
Mm-hmm.
At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts.
First of all, he said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. It is so important to change who you're hanging around once you begin to form a different lifestyle. There should be like-minded people, brothers and sisters walking with you that endeavor, strive to keep these commandments, statutes, and laws. Because here we have the testimony of waking up at night. I will rise to give thanks, not go get a snack. But I will rise to give thanks. These things are important as he's expressing himself in writing and giving you a visual of how important it is to be in this capacity. Let's finish that one up.
Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes.
Ending it with mercy once again. Okay, so let's go to the ninth letter. I'll give you some background on that. It's very interesting the way that this ninth letter comes across. It's tet. That's how it's pronounced. It's like teth, but I'm not pronouncing it exactly right. It has two different forms. And it's, as I mentioned, the ninth letter. Use the T as strong as you use the word T in tall. It's a paradoxical letter in that it reveals both the good and the evil. This letter has a lot to do with a chapter that is troubling for a lot of people, Isaiah 45 and 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Most High, thy power, do all these things. Most people don't understand how the Most High uses evil in this world so he can get across his purposes and will unleash evil that on people that have broken these laws. So this is just a little foundation of what this ninth one is about. Let's go ahead and read that one.
Psalms 119 and verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
Listen to something right there before we go by. He said, before I was afflicted. Listen closely to that. That's helping you to understand what I mean by the ninth letter. In his weakness, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. The Most High will use the afflictions to draw you back to his commandments, his statutes, and judgments. And the writer is saying, before I was afflicted, I was going astray. I kept going astray. Tragedy will strike as a point of grace to get you back where you need to be. Because most of you will not worship or pray until there's a desperate situation. And when everything is good, we get further and further away from the truth, which is Torah, law, commandments. And we become a gospel unto ourselves. You start acting like a Gentile. You're a law unto yourself, like Romans 2 and 14 says. That's what you start to do, because that's how our people fell out the statutes and commandments and the laws, because we wanted to be like the other nations. And in society today, we want to stay under these curses because we want to be like the other nations. We want to eat their lobster, shrimp, crab, and pork. We want to go to their clubs, to their games, dance to their music. We want and desire to have temporary satisfaction and accoutrements of society. You want that Benz and that house on the hill so you can gloat in it for the temporary satisfaction and can still die of cancer after moving into it 3 months and won't even be able to enjoy it. I'm just letting you know the reality of life. And the Most High will allow these things. So I had to point this out. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Go ahead and finish 68.
Verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy command, statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
The heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law.
That's talking about the people, everything I just got through saying. The proud are the ones that are talebearers. They keep forging lies against me. They're the wicked because they're lifted up in pride. Pride goes before fall. And their heart is fat as grease. This is what he's saying. But I will delight in my law. Read the rest of them.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted.
It is what?
It is good for me that I have been afflicted,
that
I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold.
I guess I got ahead of myself again because he just expressed it all. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You still setting your bet on the money? Getting the money? Are you still resting on it is good for me that I have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes is what he's saying. It is good that some of the things you went through have brought you to where you are now to express some type of humility and learn these statutes, laws, and commandments. I don't want to go that much further today. I'm hoping to get some Hebrew scholars on here within the next week that can give you more of a breakdown on how these came into being, what their importance was to people, how children were taught these in Hebraic schools back during our time to better learn the commandments and laws. They had to memorize them, and we'll break down some more of the words and terms. So I think it's of great importance. So I want to move into our encouragement section, so I'll be right back after these words.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Say no weapon.
Got your praise on with your family this morning. Are you blew your shofar, you beat your trumpet, your horns. Guess what? Check this out. David allowed the Ark of the Covenant to go into Obed-Edom's house. He didn't even know quite what to do with it at the time. Obed took the Ark into his home and every day would dance around the Ark and worship and praise the higher. And he began to be blessed. He began to peek inside his house and say, wait a minute, hold on, why is this man being blessed? And he knew what to do with the presence of the Most High. Of course, presence is saying, dance, worship. And that's why David got that ark and he danced. And he danced his clothes off. His wife began to talk about it, look at it. You can tell, man. But listen, don't let nobody stop you. In your own house, you're dancing. Until you dance out your clothes, playing your drums, your piano, that's your refuge. Don't be intimidated. You have enough to deal with in the world. Right, let's get it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. It's a good song. As I was saying earlier, we have a lot of teaching and preaching in Israel. And they're not defenders of the faith. People are becoming defenders of themselves, of their camps and their churches, and we carry on when we hear it and continue to do the same. I find that a lot of the recurring themes become topical, and it's recurring everywhere. And people will begin to talk about the same things, and then people give their rebuttal. And what happens is we're getting away from the truth and from the real problems that plague our people that are keeping us from preparing ourselves. We're not only supposed to be encouraging each other, but we're supposed to be going to get the rest of the lost house of Israel and tell people that they are Israelites. Come back to the commandments. Come back to the truth. Not did you hear about what this camp is preaching, what he said, and am I this and am I that? Because we can't separate the wheat from the tare. There are many parading as Israelites that aren't Israelites. No, they're not. But they can be in the, they can keep these statutes, laws, and commandments as the strangers did sojourn with us. And I think that's the importance that we should learn, to allow the commandments to become relevant and to do as we do, as we try and follow what the Most High told us to do, dress, clothing, work, eat. Sabbath. These are the things that we're supposed to keep focus on. And for people to become envious of Israel and say, I'm Israel too. No, you're a spiritual Israel that the Gentiles talk about, but you won't be in the congregation. But I don't want to lose my focus. My main focus here today is to say this, that many people, as we just saw in Romans 1:28, have knowledge, but still don't know him. We know scripture is going to tell us that many people will proclaim their fame and everything they did, and the Most High is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. What does that mean? I was never intimate with you. I never had an intimate knowledge with you. How do you have intimate knowledge? Intimacy causes conception and deep relationship. And guess what? When it comes to the Most High, you're thinking relationship in the earth. But with the Most High, it's the relationship of Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were formed in the belly through earthly intimacy, I knew you. And that know is an intimate knowledge. Now, in the Greek, it's gnosko, which means I have intimate knowledge of you. And then on top of me knowing you before you got in the belly, while you were in the belly, I was forming you and fashioning how I want you to look. Even if it means coming out with an affliction, because some of us needed to come out here with an affliction just so we would be humble and be in the right capacity. the way he wanted us to be. There are some people that we look down upon and be like, that's so sad, but they have a great heart of humility, desire to seek the Most High, and they don't get caught up in this world. Now, before I'm just doing kind of like a precursor before I go through James 1 and 19, and you begin to better understand, because here's what's happening. Many people are getting the law and commandments and have a few precepts, but they're still holding on to their pet sins. Like I talked about, when you become a man, you lay it aside. Many people are getting the commandments in the laws, but still have a desire to be in adultery and fornication, and they let that spirit overtake them. That has not come out of them. Many people are learning these laws and commandments, even memorizing them, and still struggling with the ninth commandment of gossip, like I just said. And I know you got your head covering on everything, but you were still doing everything in nine. There is a place of deliverance that you have to come to, and that's what Be the Preacher emphasizes, because I'll never forget Christ coming off the ship and the man that used to rip and tear himself and had legions of demons in him, recognized Christ, immediately ran to him, stopped cutting himself, fell down in worship, and tried to come into subjection. Christ was like, I'm not having it. You need to come out. And they were like, okay, well, can you at least cast us into the swine? Christ is like saying, you can't deceive me or fool me. Guess what? A lot of you are easily deceived and fooled because you see somebody doing what somebody else does. Precepts, Hebrew, head covering, talk nice. Satan is subtle, as I said in the beginning. He's a deceiver. He's an angel, minister of light. He has ministers of light, angels of light. He said in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, I will be like the Most High, and I will be worshipped. I will ascend into the heavens. That means now, brothers and sisters, Mishpachah, that's now. He said, I will be worshipped. I will ascend into the heights. I will. He is sitting in the seat of the congregation, and people are worshiping him. You don't understand the importance of what's going on with everything else. There is a place where the seven sons of Sceva in Acts the 19th chapter said, we want to be just like Paul and them, and we want to cast out demons. And they saw the demons, and the demons said, Paul and Peter, I know, but who are you? You have no relationship. The Father don't know you. You have no power. And these people were keeping the feasts, the fast days, and everything else. So anybody that doesn't want to hear it is because some people don't want to let go of what they got to have. Some people still cheating on their spouses, gambling, gossiping. This has become, being a Hebrew has become a fad, like being a Black Panther in the 70s and going to get you a beret and a black leather coat. It has become the new hip, the new smart to know some precepts, all that. That's what it's become. It's become just culturized for a lot of people instead of transforming. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wanted to lay that foundation first. Now I'm just going to read James 1 and 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. We just covered these things. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, which is your anger. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's doing too much, just going over the top. He's saying, put it to the side and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He said, you got to receive it with meekness and it will save you. But then he goes on to say this and emphasize, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You not all good because you watch every YouTube video or you tune in on Saturdays. You not all good. You not set. James is telling you. He said you're deceiving yourself because you're getting these precepts. So I can't tell you to just go to the commandments, because I know some of you need somebody to lay hands on you, anoint you, and deal with them problems you got that you hold on to. He said it right here. Be ye doers. There's tons of laws that you need to be putting into action. He's talking about, are you taking care of the fatherless, the homeless? Are you fasting, feeding feeding the hungry, looking out for the sick. I mean, there's so many things we could be doing instead of being distracted by breaking the ninth commandment. We are such a distracted people, and it's by design because Satan doesn't want Israel to get back together with Yeshua and be back with our daddy, Ahayah Bashem Yeshua, when he comes and returns and restores us back into Jerusalem, the kingdom. The whole thing is to let the Gentiles win by default because we're all perverted. And Satan can look at him and say, look at your people. Why? Because he's the accuser of the brethren. But we have Christ sitting on the right hand making intercessions for us. So he said, James 1 and 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and then goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he's likening it to you seeing yourself in the mirror, knowing what you look like, but once you get out into the streets, you forget what you look like. Forget, you don't even know what you look like anymore. I mean, I could break it down simple. You think you see something, and you get out there in the streets, you're not that. So, verse 25 said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and I love that verse right there because his commandments are not grievous towards us. And scripture says, where the spirit is, there's liberty, there's life. Where the wild rock is, there should be liberty, freedom. You should be like, I've been set free. The chains are coming off of me. There should be no strife and struggle. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, in all that strife and everything we talked about in verse 21, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. We find blessings in our deeds, he being not a forgetful hearer. So it's like a lot of us will gather on the Shabbat, and that's it. We hear it, and we're done. We don't transform, we don't change, and we don't apply. Application is everything. I don't care how much you know. See, that's the funny thing about school. They teach you and give you a test so you can regurgitate what they put in you, and then most people don't even remember it, or it doesn't become them. See, this is my thing with people that just regurgitate things but have not been transformed by allowing yourself to be renewed by this word. Because doers are people that have been convinced that I need to live like this. I need to do this. I need to change and be transformed. I can't be the same old man that I was. Everybody, if you continue like that, because I'm seeing that what goes on in the Christian church is still going on in the house of Israel. A lot of gossip, a lot of deception, a lot of self-promotion. As I said, a person can take these laws, these commandments, this truth, especially the leaders of some of these gatherings, and they can twist it to defend their stance, especially to the unlearned that are still on milk. This word can be twisted by anyone. I can take two or three scriptures and make you think you heard something, and that's not what it says, which is why the Bible wants you to learn the commandments and laws and have the spirit within so you can rightly divide the word of truth. That's that discernment that quickens you to life. And you know within your knower when something is right, when you're hearing the right thing. Like I said, there's an oversaturation of people preaching and teaching all types of doctrine and itching ears going from broadcast to broadcast trying to hear things. And there's a proliferation of miseducation, wrong gospels, a proliferation of the same topic because people are going off on each other, and that's why you leave empty. And you still haven't learned anything. And I'm telling you, a lot of these people that are leaders, that are learned, they're learned, they have the law, have become deceptive. And I told you, as I said in the beginning, who went into the Garden of Eden and began to quote scripture to Eve? Who took Yeshua to the highest peak and offered him all the riches of the land? Tried to use scripture. who understands this law also and said in Isaiah 14, I'm going to be worshipped and deceive everybody, and I'll sit in the seat of worship. So listen, I'm saying a couple of things here. It's not enough to just try to memorize it, but you got to be a doer and allow it to transform you. And then in the process, many of you need to allow yourselves to be delivered. This word has to take hold of you and transform you. The transformation and deliverance are synonymous, one and the same. If you're still struggling with the same sins you had before you came into the quote-unquote truth, there's something wrong. You're just vibing on this trend, this fad, this culture, this head covering, this I want to be down. You don't know a higher. Let me finish this chapter, then I'm going to go back to Romans 1 and 28. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before Ahiah. And Abba is, it says, and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The onus is upon you to keep yourself unspotted. What you do in public, what you do amongst Gentiles, and what you pray to the Father and ask him to help you with and take out of your life. Some of you need to be fasting to deal with your lust and your gluttony, your alcoholism, everything else, these things that you don't do in moderation that have taken you away from the commandments and Torah. You've got to fast, step away from it, and ask him to deliver you from it. You've got to be unspotted. And process, he's even saying in verse 27, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. What is the real fast that the Most High has called for? I'm not going to read it. I'm going to let you go there and read it. And I believe, I just want to make sure, it's Isaiah 56, where he says that if we do these things, we can call upon him and he will answer. Isaiah 58 talks about genuine fasting, because a lot of people get self-righteous in fasting, brag and tell everybody, I've been fasting, and you already received your reward. He said the real fasting is to deal thy bread to the hungry, and bring it to the poor, and even give them shelter if they need it. He said, then shall your light break forth. You'll find yourself being healthy when you find yourself so over consumed with helping somebody else. Most High said, I'm going to take care of your health. You're looking out after so many other people. You see how his laws work? There's a balance. There's a balance. And then verse 9, you know, I'm reading Isaiah 58:9. Then shall thou call on Yeshua, on the Most High power, and he'll answer your cry, and he'll be there. You're not getting your prayer heard? Read Isaiah 58, but I'm going back to the fact that there are many people that are using this word and mishandling it for the wrong reasons, and it's going to come to naught, that are deceivers. And so I'm not going to tell you to memorize the Ten Commandments, because I know a bunch of little kids memorize the Ten Commandments, and they're some hellions on earth. Grow up to be some hellions, too. You should train them in the way they should grow. When they get older, they won't depart. Some of them depart because you didn't properly train them in the early days. But my point is, people just memorizing and not doing and applying and becoming what this Bible's telling you to become and changing, it's not going to do nothing for you. And then letting the onus be upon you to walk away from that life. Romans 1 and 28, and even as they did not like to retain Ahiah in their knowledge, the Most High gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. The Most High has turned a lot of people over, and they don't even realize they're turned over. And these people are knowledgeable. Verse 28 again. And even as they did not like to retain Ahiah in their knowledge. See, there's a separation there. They didn't want to keep the Most High in their knowledge. They became worshipers of themselves, chasing money. I'm doing this for the money. I'm doing this for the fame. I'm doing this so I can be worshipped. I'm doing this so I can have followers. It's too much going on out here. And you can hear it when people are defending themselves or what they have built with their own hands. And the Most High is not pleased We're here to build the kingdom, and that's by dying and being available to the kingdom, preaching these statutes and laws and commandments to our brothers and sisters, and being ready to lend a helping hand whenever your brother or sister needs it, and learning how to just keep the simple 10, because the 9 was enough this morning, the 9th commandment. Stop this gossiping. It's just way out of hand. Way out of hand. We're in a culture that is steeped in gossip and slander and rumors and talebearers. So let's repeal ourselves from it. Let's pull back and be mindful of the conversations we entertain. And let's keep our minds on Yeshua's soon return. And the deception that this world is creating through entertainment to keep you from knowing what's going on over in the third world, and how we are at the precipice of not a new president and all that. They're getting ready to establish this global law. That man didn't die of natural causes on that bench. That man was murdered because he was outside of the consciousness thinking of the way they want to go. But you can catch me on Straight No Chaser for that kind of talk. Let's stay on the laws. Brothers and sisters, I love you. Listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is not a journey, but a destination. Kwam Yasha'Allah, Shabbat Shalom, Barakathah to the family. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Donna.